I want to welcome all of you on tonight. I think you're really going to enjoy what you hear in part. In part, you're going to say, oh, no. But it's something that we need to hear, and we need to move into action over, like, immediately until the fog clears. I'm not going to share. I had an experience early this week that lasted many hours, and I'm not going to share that this week. I will share it next week. It was a phenomenal experience, to say the least. But it is so critical. It's so important. It's so wonderful. You're going to want to hear every word. It's going to be a life-transforming time in God. And I believe with all my heart there isn't going to be a soul on the face of the earth that will not be somehow affected by what I experienced earlier this week. But I went over it today and recorded it into a special file, and I realized it would just take too long to try to share it today. So I'll share it next week, and please bring friends, family, intercessors, anyone you know that will even pray 20 minutes a day. It may not be anyone that someone would label an intercessor, but if they have a heart to pray it all, bring them on, because they really want to hear what's going to happen. Ricky is also going to share tonight, and what she has will be extremely encouraging to you. I think by now that all of you know that she is not only very prophetic, but she has a great gift of exhortation. So what she has to say will not only encourage you intellectually, but it will encourage your heart tremendously. So let's pray that God will help us through my part and help us to think and feel precisely what he needs us to think and feel by the time I'm finished. Father, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for your never-ending love. We thank you for your eternal purposes. We thank you that you love Israel. You love my people, our people. I thank you for that. And I thank you that you've never ceased to love our people. Even when we were afraid to admit we were Jews, still you loved us. You found us all over the earth, fearful of even recognizing who we are and what we are. And yet, you were there to care for us. You were there to honor your promises to our forefathers. You just have never forgotten us. So we know that going into what I'm going to share with these people tonight, you will be there. You will help us. You will bring forth your eternal purposes. And I ask that you will help me share tonight what you have to say. In your precious name, amen. Now, clear back in 1999, I had a tremendous prophetic experience. I was actually in Australia at the time. And the Lord, two nights in a row, gave me prophetic experiences that were pretty powerful. But this one, they both differed from one another and were about different issues. But this one, although I saw it clear back in 1999, it is only just now happening. So I want to share it with you because it's very, very important. It's very critical. If you're a person of prayer and you have a heart for Israel, you want to hear what I've got to say because you want to pray. I saw, first and foremost, remember this is 1999, I saw first and foremost that a young man by the name of Bibi Netanyahu was going to gain the prime ministership of Israel. So we've seen that happen, and he's just kind of hovered around that very distinct and focused area of politics concerning Israel for many years. He's just been whoever thinks they're in control. Bibi is right there on the forefront. And Israelis love him. I know that there are those that are saying he's going to be indicted for a level of corruption. I hope that turns out to be a pretty minor issue because Israelis love Bibi. His wife is a Christian. He has a very tender heart toward the people. He really and truly, I believe, would give his life for Israel if he thought for a moment that it would somehow bring forth stability in the nation. I saw that Israel would continue to grow, would continue to become stronger and stronger, but it would be through trouble. It would be as though trouble is not far from them at any given time. Now, some would say, well, it's their fault. Others would say, well, what do you expect them to do? And quite frankly, I don't say anything. I don't have any feelings about it one way or another. I've gone to Israel as many as 4 times a year for weeks at a time. I love my people. I love the nation. When I get to Israel, it takes everything I've got not to just kneel down and kiss the ground, really. It just feels like home away from home. And I think God puts that in the hearts of Jewish people. I know we have Ken Clark, who is also Jewish, who is on staff. And he and his wife, Debbie, feel the same way I do. I'm sorry, I know I sound nervous because I am nervous. It's not good news, but in the end, it will be good news. They're going to have to go through a hard time. So in this experience, sitting in Australia in 1999, I saw that Bibi had just been elected prime minister, and he was coming into that position. But as I walked toward his office, time elapsed, and he was out of the position. Well, actually, what I saw and what I have published in a book is that there were two heads which was hard for me at that time to understand, because I don't remember a time in Israel when that's ever been the case, that there has been two heads from two opposite parties who join and become one and call it the Union Party or the Union Government. We've never seen anything like that. But that's exactly what I saw in the spiritual experience I was taken into. Bibi was, how can I put this? Bibi, I want to try to say it like I wrote it. Bibi was seated as the prime minister. It didn't seem like he was going to be there long. It seemed like that this dual head, one was Bibi, one was another man, very nice-looking man, very, he looked like a purposed, very highly respected businessman. And I'll never forget that face. I'll just, you know, in 40 years I won't forget it. So I heard just a few days ago that this union has just taken place. After 20-some years, it has just happened. And I saw the man, I think his name is Gatz, if I remember correctly. If I'm wrong, John or Ricky, you can correct me.
It's a Gantz, yeah.
Okay, so so I looked him up, and when I saw his face, I was stunned. I was stunned, and I have to admit, I got very hyper, because that was the man that I saw 21 years ago in that prophetic experience. And the message I had to give him, I didn't want to give him. It would be the last message in the earth that I would ever want to give. Well, anyone in the Middle East, but, you know, especially Israel. But I walked up to him and I said, "You are the head of the union. I can't remember whether I said party or government, but you were the head of the union, probably party, maybe government." But the idea was that he was one of the two heads of this new situation in Israel. And I said, the reason it is called union is not what you would think. God gave it that name, because now the union ants are going to rise up against Israel in war. When I said that, his face became one of shocked horror, where he was so excited before. He felt like it was a new opportunity for Israel to try something brand new and hopefully make it work for the good of the people. But when I said what I had to say to him, we both knew that the Union Ants were the United Arab Nations, and that they were going to come up against Israel in war. And the fact of this union situation is the marking point. It's the, what is the word I want? It's a guide. I can't think of the word I want. But you know, it marks, if you've got a timeline, it marks on the timeline the time that the word is going to come to pass. And I didn't know what to say beyond that. he didn't ask any questions. He was too dumbstruck. He was too devastated to think that he's just gotten into office, and in a very short time, they have got to start rapidly preparing for the nation against this war. Now, here we are 20 years later, and many, many years ago, I learned that, and I've written about it, that Israel has weaponry that is so far superior that there is no nation, not even America, there is no nation on the face of the earth that has anything anywhere close to the dynamics of the weaponry that Israel has underground that I know of. They've never brought it out. I can remember years ago when I was going to Israel all the time. They were making technological wonders to help govern the people, to help protect the people. It was just amazing what they were doing. But Israel has that gift. They have that gift. And so they have developed weaponry that's far advanced from anybody else on the earth. So when these Arab ants come up against Israel, they are not prepared for what is going to happen. They really think that the weaponry that, you know, the new baby on the block has is inferior because they're the new baby on the block. They really don't know, nor do they believe just how superior their new baby brother is in their warfare technology. So in the end, the Arabs are really going to be hurting when this is over. But so will Israel. What I saw was the destruction of Damascus, and Syria was greatly affected by the war. In fact, you couldn't get communication into Syria or out of it because of the severe damage, communication damage and damage to major facilities throughout Syria. The same is true of Israel. Syria needed food, and they needed water, and they needed it desperately for the population. But Israel also needed food and needed water because of the damage that was done to facilities through this war. So you couldn't get information in or out of Syria, you couldn't get information in or out of Israel. And I can remember in that experience that I was standing in a line with many other Jewish people who had family in Israel, and we're all saying to one another, have you heard anything? I mean, even one sentence from the people. Have you heard anything? And all of us would just have to hang our heads and say, no, no one is communicating. We can't get communication in. They can't get it out. So we just need to pray. And they were earnest in their prayers, needless to say. But the Arab ants are going to come up against Israel. And although the war is going to be a difficult war, Israel will prevail. And it's going to be There's two things that I've seen, if you don't mind. There's two things that I've seen. I don't know how they fit together. I don't know how God is going to bring about these two things. Maybe prayer will make the difference, and that's one of the reasons I wanted to share this with you. But I've seen that because of this war, the nations of the earth, particularly in Europe, were really agitated with Israel. They just felt like that they had crossed over a line that they had no business crossing over. And whatever favor Israel had been able to gain in some of the European nations, they lost to this war. But I've also seen that things were going to go on inside of Israel that would spark the compassion of the nations. And this is why I'm saying maybe prayer is the thing that's going to make the difference. Because of the compassion of the nations, they're going to look at Israel in pity and say, Israel, you have had nothing but trouble since you became a nation. We are so sorry that this has gone as far as it's gone. And what we as a contingent of nations want to say to you at this time, that in our pity, in our grief for your suffering, we want to say we bless your desire to rebuild your temple. This is the time to do it. And you've got our blessings to do it. Now, Kim and I were talking after this whole thing came up. And we were discussing whether or not this was the Psalm 83 war. When I found this article in my book, I addressed that because God had addressed that with me. I just forgot. But God had addressed that with me 20 years ago. And he told me that this is not the Psalms, the Psalm 83 war. That is yet to come. This, although it's going to be bad, it's not going to be the caliber of Psalm 83. And so I'm sure somewhere in the Bible is hidden talk to tell us what to think, how to feel, and how to pray. But right now, I don't know where to find that. So just pray that God will help us know what the Bible is saying about this particular war. I'm also concerned about the other nations. Now, in the past, when there has been a conflict like this, everyone suffers. But Israel always comes out Israel always comes out on top. You know, it's like the David and Goliath syndrome. You see little David, Israel, coming against the Goliath of the Arab nations. And you just know everyone's going to hurt over this battle. But little David can't even help himself. God's with him. His interest and involvement in the war to keep his land safe is minimal compared to their interest. Yet, he wins. He prevails. And Israel is going to prevail this time. But the Arab nations I really believe, also need prayer. And I want to ask you for that. Pray for Israel. Pray that Israel will not be defeated. Pray that God will reveal himself to the people of the land, to the leaders, that superior wisdom will be given for this warfare. But still, pray, please, for the Arab nation. Abraham said to Yahweh, "Will you not watch over my son Ishmael?" And he was told that he would. God still has a heart for the Arab nations, no matter who they are or what they've done. And we know that they've bred terrible poisons in the earth. But he still wants to honor, for Abraham's sake, Ishmael and the Arab nations. So please pray for them. Pray that God will send salvation to those nations, that he'll open their eyes to see that their little brother really is a friend. And, you know, I've been there so many times. I've gotten to know Jewish people on the land. And their heart really is not against the Arab nation. It just isn't. They just want to live in peace. That's it. Any Arabs that live inside of Israel, inside of Jerusalem, and they do have Arabs there, they take care of them as though they were their own. There's no battle in the heart of the Jewish people against the Arabs. But they know that the Arabs want them off the land, want them out of the Mediterranean. They want it, if they could obliterate them from the earth, they would. But at the very least, if they could move them to some foreign land as far away from Israel as possible, and that's the best they could do, they would do it. So God alone really can rectify this situation. I do believe that in the end, before the Lord's return, there is going to be peace that will be generated not by the Antichrist, but by God. I've seen it. So I can't tell you how big or how vast that is going to be. I have not yet been given that. But there is this spirit of reconciliation that's going to come upon the Middle East to help Israel and to help the Arab nation. And I will talk to you about that more next week. So I want to close off and let Ricky take over with something far more positive than what I'm sharing with you. But I will say this one last thing before I hang up. Turning everything, and it has the potential of anything. So for praying according to God's will, the eternal purposes that God has in allowing this to happen will come to birth, and it's going to be for the best of everybody. So don't pray in fear, pray in faith, and pray in love. And with that, I bless you, I thank you, and I'll turn it over to Ricky. Go ahead, honey.